Have you ever felt like your sexuality is more about pleasing others than pleasing yourself? You're not alone. In Taking Sexy Back, Harvard-educated psychologist Alexandra Solomon offers a revolutionary approach to female sexuality that has become a phenomenon among celebrities and thought leaders. Praised by Glennon Doyle as required reading for every woman, this book has sparked conversations from Oprah's couch to university lecture halls across America. As sexual dissatisfaction reaches epidemic proportions, affecting one-third of women regardless of background, Solomon's work arrives at a crucial cultural moment, offering a path from performance to pleasure, from shame to celebration, and from disconnection to wholehearted embodiment. There's a profound difference between being sexualized and being sexual. When you're sexualized, your sexuality becomes something that happens to you, a performance evaluated by others. This outside-in approach positions women passively, bombarded with contradictory messages. Be appealing but not demanding, available but not hungry, please your partner while faking your own pleasure. In this toxic climate where men are positioned as active predators and women as passive prey, women experience sexuality only as reflections in others' eyes. The solution is flipping the script from outside-in to inside-out sexuality. Your sexy is your sexuality, your relationship to the erotic that connects ancestrally to every woman who came before. This shift transforms performance into enjoyment, shame into comfort, numbness into aliveness, and restriction into expansion. When you construct your sexuality from the inside out, you reclaim what has always been yours, neither earned nor ordained by others. An inside-out experience means believing your sexuality reflects your whole self, physical, emotional, intellectual, and spiritual. This approach means courageously stepping outside narrow gender roles to insist on self-aware, empowered sexual experiences. While sexual self-awareness doesn't guarantee a lifetime of carefree sex, it equips you to address painful aspects of your sexual story with courage and compassion. Reclaiming your sexy prepares you for partnership with someone who can meet you in self-awareness and helps you raise future generations free from sexual shame.
Sex therapist Esther Perel describes sex as a place you go, and navigating this territory requires a map. The map of sexual self-awareness illustrates seven interconnected aspects of sexuality. Cultural. Your sexuality exists within larger cultural contexts with gendered stories about who you should be sexually. These messages are so pervasive, they often feel like absolute truth rather than social constructions. Developmental. Your sexuality changes throughout life. Who you were as a teen differs from who you are now and who you'll be in the future. The thread connecting these expressions is your core identity. Mental. Your thoughts about sex shape your experiences, with mindfulness and self-compassion offering pathways to more wholehearted experiences. The quality of your internal dialogue profoundly impacts your relationship with sexuality. Physical. As an embodied experience, your relationship with your body shapes sexual experiences. Understanding your anatomy and embracing your body as worthy of pleasure creates foundation for authentic sexuality. Relational. Most sex occurs between people, requiring communication and collaboration. The space between partners creates a unique third sexuality beyond individual expressions. Spiritual. Your relationship with the divine can enhance or constrain sexual pleasure and empowerment. Many traditions have historically connected femininity with profanity and masculinity with holiness. This map doesn't prescribe a single right way to experience sexuality, but rather offers a framework for deeper self-understanding. The journey requires holding paradoxes, being both courageous and afraid, both intrigued and intimidated by sex, embodying both feminine and masculine energies.
Most of us received inadequate sex education focused primarily on risks, diseases, and what not to do, creating a permanent association between sex and danger. When schools think sex education is a family's job, and families think it's school's responsibility, the resulting silence becomes deafening.
Research shows most young adults wish they'd received more relationship education from both parents and schools. Without proper education, sexual curiosity becomes equated with being bad or dirty, forcing young people to seek information from potentially problematic sources like pornography. Deep political divides shape sex education in America, with abstinence-only programs receiving billions in federal funding despite clear evidence they don't work. These programs don't reduce teen pregnancy rates or delay sexual activity, and teens who receive them are actually less likely to use protection when they do have sex. Comprehensive sex education, while better, still omits crucial topics like pleasure, masturbation, and communication. Less than half of high schools cover all CDC-recommended sex education topics, leaving most young people unprepared for their first sexual experiences. Sex positivity offers an alternative approach, being open-minded, non-judgmental, and respectful of sexual autonomy when there's consent. It's about embracing sex as normal, natural, and pleasurable while recognizing the beautiful diversity of gender expressions and sexual orientations. This approach doesn't dictate specific sexual behaviors. You can be sex positive while practicing abstinence or having frequent sex, enjoying vanilla or kinky experiences, or choosing monogamy or consensual non-monogamy. Being sex positive is fundamentally an attitude that helps shed inherited shame and cultivate self-acceptance instead. Understanding how power and privilege operate in our culture is essential to sexual self-awareness. Patriarchy, a system valuing masculinity over femininity, restricts everyone by enforcing rigid gender roles and punishing those who transgress them. This affects intimate relationships by creating a hierarchy where men are breadwinners and women are homemakers, despite their interdependence. Our culture's rigid binary gender categorization fails to capture human complexity. The Gender Bread Person tool helps expand our understanding through five dimensions: gender identity, how you think of yourself; gender expression, how you present yourself; biological sex, physical characteristics; sexual attraction, physical desires; and romantic attraction, emotional connections. These dimensions operate independently and may change over time. Human existence balances two fundamental modalities: agency, achievement, mastery, autonomy, and communion, connection, nurturing, belonging. Research shows we're healthiest when flowing between these energies rather than rigidly dividing them along gender lines. Sexual interactions are profoundly shaped by gender conditioning, making intimate relationships especially vulnerable to rigid scripts. When heterosexual couples follow traditional patterns where men lead and women passively receive, both partners suffer. Consent requires far more than just no means no. It demands enthusiastic, mutual agreement. According to Rain, consent involves clear communication every time, can be withdrawn at any moment, and never results from coercion or manipulation. True consent creates empathic feedback loops where partners make invitations and honestly respond based on genuine desire. Sexual experiences should combine passion and empathy, excitement and care. These aren't mutually exclusive, but should occupy the same space simultaneously. Sexual desire, a motivational state of interest or openness to sexual experience, changes across encounters, relationships, and lifespans. The traditional Masters-Johnson-Kaplan model charted a universal linear progression: desire, arousal, plateau, orgasm, resolution. But this model led to many women being diagnosed with dysfunction when they didn't fit this pattern. This oversimplified view failed to account for the complex interplay of psychological, emotional, and physiological factors that influence desire. Rosemary Bassin revolutionized our understanding by proposing that desire can be either spontaneous, I want sex, or responsive, developing after stimulation begins. Women often enter sexual experiences for intimacy-based reasons rather than pure horniness, with desire emerging through the experience itself. Research shows about 29% of women experience primarily spontaneous desire, 20% responsive desire, 41% a combination of both, and 11% something different altogether. This knowledge frees partners from shame-loaded stories when their desire styles differ. For example, a partner with responsive desire might need extended foreplay or emotional connection before feeling aroused, while someone with spontaneous desire might feel ready for sex with minimal preparation. The dual control model compares sexual response to a car with both an accelerator, sexual excitation system, SES, and brakes, sexual inhibition system, SIS. Your sexual response depends on whether your brain codes a situation as good, yummy, more, or bad, yucky, stop. People vary significantly in their sensitivity to both excitation and inhibition cues. Some individuals have sensitive accelerators, becoming aroused easily by subtle stimuli, while others have stronger brakes, requiring more extensive safety signals and comfort to feel aroused. Common excitation triggers include touch, visual stimuli, or emotional connection, while inhibition triggers might include stress, body image concerns, or relationship tension. Understanding your particular balance expands self-awareness and helps you create contexts that support your sexuality. Sexual motivations fall into two categories: approach motivations, seeking what you want, closeness, pleasure, orgasm, fueled by love, and avoidance motivations, preventing what you don't want, abandonment, conflict, guilt, fueled by fear. Predominantly avoidance-based motivations signal potential issues requiring attention. Healthy approach motivations might include seeking intimacy, exploring pleasure, or deepening emotional connections. Problematic avoidance motivations could involve having sex to prevent a partner's anger, avoid relationship conflicts, or maintain self-worth. Recognizing these patterns helps individuals and couples develop more positive, pleasure-focused sexual experiences while addressing underlying relationship or personal concerns that may be affecting their intimate life. Our thoughts about sex profoundly shape our experiences. Dan Siegel's insight about mental health reveals that disorders fall into two categories: rigidity or chaos. Sexual rigidity manifests as limiting beliefs. Sex is sinful, I am sexually broken, or I am bad at sex. Sexual chaos appears as beliefs that enable reckless choices. I'm not worthy of safe sex, or sex is no big deal. Sexual integration, our goal, means relating to fantasies with curiosity rather than fear, tuning into your body during sex, asking for what you need, saying no when necessary, and developing practices that maintain balance. Truly fulfilling sex happens at the intersection of being grounded in yourself while remaining connected to your partner. I am both attuned to me and open to you. Mindfulness, bringing attention to the present moment without judgment, is the most powerful tool for moving from sexual rigidity or chaos toward integration. It's the difference between being consumed by thoughts and simply noticing, I'm having a thought. Though it requires consistent practice, mindfulness during sex significantly improves women's sexual desire by allowing full presence in the body. Unfortunately, many barriers prevent this presence: worrying about your partner's experience, body insecurities, shame about sexuality, trauma flashbacks, or distracting thoughts about daily responsibilities. Most heartbreaking is research showing half of women persist through painful sex, sometimes faking orgasms to end it without threatening their partner's ego. Pain signals something needs to change, whether it's adding lubrication, more foreplay, different techniques, or medical consultation. Self-compassion consists of three components: self-kindness, being warm toward ourselves when we suffer rather than self-critical; common humanity, recognizing imperfection as part of shared human experience; and mindfulness, observing thoughts non-judgmentally. Unlike hollow self-esteem, self-compassion embraces imperfections with gentleness. Our relationship with our bodies fundamentally shapes what we feel able to ask for, receive, and enjoy sexually. Women are caught in a cruel paradox, taught that beauty determines belonging, yet judged as superficial when focusing on appearance. Industries profit from women's negative body thoughts. While men also face beauty standards, women tend to evaluate their bodies as pull-apart components needing fixing rather than holistic units, and see themselves as objects to be gazed upon rather than subjects with capability. The relationship between a woman and her vulva is often strained due to cultural shame. Many women don't know their anatomy well, using euphemisms rather than proper terms. Cultural messaging portrays vulvas as dirty or shameful, with vulva-related terms used as insults. The path forward requires naming our parts, connecting with related emotions without judgment, and choosing a more affirming relationship with our vulvas. The clitoris is far more than what's visible externally. While the glands, clitoris, and hood are visible, the structure extends internally with a body that connects to the pubic bone, plus legs, crura, and bulbs that extend alongside the vaginal canal. During arousal, these internal structures swell significantly, up to 3 times their normal size. Unlike the penis, which serves multiple functions, the clitoris has a singular purpose: pleasure. With 8,000 nerve endings, it's designed solely for sensation and stimulation. Research confirms this anatomical reality. Less than 20% of women orgasm from penetration alone, with most requiring direct clitoral stimulation, either for orgasm or to enhance pleasure during intercourse. Women's orgasms have been historically misunderstood and hierarchically categorized. From Freud's harmful theory that mature women have vaginal rather than clitoral orgasms, to various classifications of orgasm types, modern understanding recognizes that women's orgasms are diverse and dynamic, with the extensive clitoral structure likely involved in most orgasms, regardless of stimulation method. Emotions and sex have an intimate bi-directional relationship. Our emotions draw us toward or away from sexual situations, and sexual experiences stir emotions within us. Our feelings serve as vital internal data, manifesting first as bodily states before we process them through thoughts and words. Despite our culture's emphasis on independence, we are fundamentally relational creatures, with emotions proving highly contagious, especially in intimate relationships where partners literally affect each other's physiology through neurochemical reactions. Every sexual experience, before, during, and after, is saturated with emotion, despite hookup culture's dangerous attempt to separate sex from feelings. Before sex, emotions typically stem from either love, let's have fun, this will feel good, producing curiosity and playfulness, or fear, if we don't, you'll leave me, I must prove something, creating guilt and shame. During sex, ideally, we experience happiness, excitement, and gratitude, feeling safe enough to open ourselves. Afterward, healthy experiences yield feelings of ecstasy, empowerment, and joy. Sex inherently involves vulnerability and risk. Women carry both the trauma of widespread sexual violence, affecting 35 to 61% of women, depending on sexual orientation, and the little t trauma of living with pervasive fear of such violence. Therapist Judith Leavitt describes women's sexual alarm system, adaptations made from living in a culture of violence against women that make it difficult to respond openly to touch, even when wanted. When a woman's partner touches her unexpectedly, her emotional brain may code danger, despite her rational brain knowing she's safe. Trauma survivors face unique challenges in reclaiming their sexuality. The healing journey requires both self-work and relational support. A supportive partner can serve as an ally by respecting boundaries, responding compassionately during triggers, and helping ground the survivor in the present moment. Recovery isn't linear but follows key principles: proceed slowly, expect setbacks, ask for help, and believe in your resilience. Sexual satisfaction strongly correlates with mental health, physical health, and relationship satisfaction for all couples. When partners feel good about their sexual connection, they feel better individually and collectively, creating a positive feedback loop. Barry McCarthy found that sexual satisfaction adds 15 to 20% to marital vitality, while sexual dysfunction can drain 50 to 70% of a relationship's intimacy. It's easy to label partners as high desire or low desire, but these labels oversimplify complex dynamics and lead to shame-filled narratives. If you loved me, you'd want more sex, or you're frigid, repressed. These accusations create harmful pursuer-withdrawer dynamics where one partner constantly initiates while the other retreats. Breaking this cycle requires compassion for both sides, recognizing the rejection felt by initiators and the guilt experienced by gatekeepers. sexual expression requires three essential elements: risk, self-compassion, and trust. Risk involves putting ourselves out there emotionally, knowing responses aren't guaranteed. Self-compassion allows us to withstand vulnerable moments without retreating into fight or flight responses when things go awkwardly. Trust in our partner creates a safe container for vulnerability. Sexual fantasies are normal. 97% of us have them. Many women experience object of desire self-consciousness, finding arousal in being desired. Dr. Justin Lemmiller's research identified 7 common fantasy themes: multi-partner sex, power and rough sex, novelty and adventure, taboo acts, partner sharing, passion and romance, and erotic flexibility, like gender bending. Most fantasies involve breaking free from cultural restraints. Rather than judging your fantasies, view them as an erotic blueprint revealing your deeper needs, perhaps for control, surrender, or attention. Research shows couples in long-term relationships understand only about 60% of what their partner likes sexually and merely 20% of what they don't like, yet sexual communication correlates with better sexual outcomes, including desire, arousal, and satisfaction. When your partner shares sexual needs, practice deep listening, focusing on understanding rather than responding. This creates safety for vulnerable sharing and prevents personalizing your partner's sexuality. Sex connects deeply with spirituality, as evidenced by common exclamations of, "Oh God," during orgasm. Religion is an organized belief system with shared moral values and practices within a faith community, typically involving belief in God. Spirituality, meanwhile, involves transcendent beliefs and practices that can exist within or outside formal religious structures. Spirituality recognizes we're more than just our physical bodies. We're both unique expressions and part of a greater whole. Religious institutions have historically perpetuated male superiority by connecting masculinity with wholeness and femininity with profanity, particularly regarding sexuality. Most religions restrict sexual behavior, creating internal conflicts between duty and curiosity. The concept of virginity is problematic, heteronormative, reductive, and laden with value judgments. Women face additional burdens of controlling men's desires, potentially leading to victim blaming. When religious upbringing conflicts with evolving feminist awareness and sexual self-discovery, spiritual renovation offers an alternative to repression or abandonment of faith. This third path allows for expanding one's spiritual home rather than choosing between sexuality and spirituality. The process involves introducing sexuality and spirituality to each other, acknowledging that one can be both grateful for religious upbringing and critical of its impact. Spiritual and erotic life both benefit from ritual-prescribed actions that imbue moments with sacred energy. Rituals transport us from ordinary to special, from me to we. When applied to sexuality, they expand possibilities for connection and pleasure. Sexual intentionality can help couples navigate desire discrepancy by reframing scheduled intimacy as an erotic practice. Infusing sexual experiences with sacredness can transform shame by viewing yourself and your partner as beautiful expressions of the divine, making your lovemaking a communion and celebration. Modern love presents challenges and complexities previous generations couldn't imagine, yet offers more egalitarian and personalized relationships. Technology intensifies perennial human relationship questions like, do I matter to you? And are you with me? Modern relationships exist simultaneously online and in real life, generating exponentially more points of potential contact that either nurture or erode connection. Intimate relationships have transformed from role-bound arrangements, where love came second to duty, to soul-to-soul connections, where we expect partners to be lovers, best friends, cheerleaders, and co-parents. Unlike the predetermined plug-and-play structure of role-to-role connections, soul-to-soul relationships require constant negotiation about everything from career priorities to keeping passion alive. Marriage exists simultaneously as both private and public, a love-based personal decision and a government-regulated contract. Marriage has transformed from a cornerstone, first step to adulthood, to a capstone, culmination after establishing education, development, and finances. This shift reflects our extended emerging adulthood phase, where 30 is the new 20. Consensual non-monogamy, CNM, is moving from margins to mainstream, challenging the notion that sexual monogamy is the only legitimate relationship model. CNM requires clear boundaries and agreements, not a free-for-all, with violations constituting betrayal like any other. What's exciting is that as monogamy becomes a choice rather than default, all couples must intentionally create, clarify, and respect sexual boundaries. Unlike the 1980s, when accessing pornography required significant effort, today's instant access to streaming porn has profound implications for sexuality. Porn can create unrealistic expectations about sex by promoting myths, yet can also foster sexual self-awareness through representation. Conscious consumption requires discernment, staying mindful of how erotic materials affect your self-perception, choosing ethical feminist pornography, and discussing with your partner the role porn should play in your relationship. Dating apps work best as avenues to in-person interaction rather than replacements for developing social skills. They can foster a consumer mentality where people seem expendable, tempting users to upgrade at the first sign of frustration rather than developing vulnerability. Modern love requires mindfulness and conscious choice, a lifelong practice of relational self-awareness and choosing partners who similarly value love as reflection and co-creation. The journey towards sexual self-awareness culminates in understanding the transcendent dimension of sexuality. You are a home to yourself and to your sexy, a place you create repeatedly by discarding what feels unhealthy and embracing what feels uplifting. From the map of sexual self-awareness journey, you've learned to cultivate discernment about cultural gender messages, patience for your evolving sexual story, mindful awareness in sexual spaces, appreciation for your imperfect body, emotional care, courage to engage with partners authentically, and awe for your profound connections. This self-connection creates new possibilities in intimate relationships, helping navigate challenges like asking for needs and setting boundaries, while opening up to pleasure, play, ecstasy, and comfort. Your sexy shines brightest when trusted to be paradoxical, encompassing seemingly contradictory qualities that honor the full spectrum of feminine sexual energy. Pleasure is your sexual birthright, accessible through different sexual roles and expressions. Your mind, body, and intuition contain wisdom that helps you recognize both your no and your heartfelt yes without apology or guilt. As you deepen self-connection, your boundaries become clearer and easier to maintain. Though loving always involves risk and potential heartbreak, you can love, lose, grow, and rise again. Your sexual desires will evolve throughout life, driven by physical longing, curiosity, desire for connection, or even practical needs. The key is living in alignment by relating to your sexy as an unfolding, imperfect story, trusting yourself to know what you want, ask for what you need, and walk away from what isn't working.